Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Take it home where you spread it around. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's what Election Day is all about. And the biggest gun we got is called the ballot box. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out. And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. And she'll bring some new ones in, and they will start the show again. And if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
The 14th of February 2019, Valentine's Day, and the 1 year anniversary of the massacre at Marjorie Stoneham High School in Parkland, Florida. We'll have more on it in the minute here. The title of our episode is Elizabeth Warren, The Voice of Working People. Elizabeth Warren opened her campaign in Lawrence, Massachusetts on the 9th of February, 2019. She announced her 2020 campaign bid, calling for fundamental changes from the New York Times. Incidentally, in of her fundamental change on behalf of working people, and argued that DJ Trump is just the latest in a more extreme symptom of what has gone wrong in America. Speaking on a chilly day, backdrop of red brick mill buildings at the site of one of the nation's most famous labor actions there in Lawrence, she said workers now, like workers then, have had enough. She said that replacing Trump, whose administration she called the most corrupt in living memory, was only the first step in fighting back against a system tilted to favor the wealthy. It wouldn't be enough just to undo the terrible acts of this administration, she said. We can't afford to just tinker around the edges, a tax credit here, a regulation there. Our fight is for big structural changes. The selection, of course, was symbolic. There was a labor strike there in 1912, started by women workers at the Everett Mill, where Warren made her announcement. The senator drew on the strike as a story of women, many of them immigrants, taking on a stacked system and triumphing by gaining raises, overtime, and other benefits. She described the American economy as a similarly tilted against the middle class, with the wealthy and political power concentrated at the top. Today, millions and millions, and I'm quoting from her, and millions of American families all struggle to survive in a system that has been rigged and rigged by the wealthy and well-connected. She added, like the women of Lawrence, we are here to say enough is enough. With the theme song from Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, blasting out. And she went on to explain some about her family background. Her father was a janitor. She went on to be a law school professor and a senator. She said that the current rising generation of young people could be the first in which a majority were worse off economically than their parents, while the rich seem to break the rules and pay no price. In response, the crowd shouted, enough is enough. She taunted proposals aimed at diminishing the financial power in Washington. her proposed wealth tax. She called on the ultra-millionaires. She also received important endorsements from Senator Markey, representative. She was introduced, incidentally, by Senator Joe Kennedy III, and her former law clerk, and from the Progressive Change Campaign. This is interesting here. The Progressive Change Campaign Committee endorsed her. Our American Revolution will endorse Bernie Sanders. In practical terms, she entered the presidential race over a month ago. She's been campaigning in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, all very important places, and even in Puerto Rico. Her announcement comes as she seeks to establish herself in the race as a champion of a liberal policy, but also that she continues to face questions. The Native American incident, as some others here, is basically based on two things. Culture that she was raised in, believing that she was part Native American, or perhaps in Native American. Johnny Cash, the singer, performer, country singer, in his later life, talked about his heritage as a Native American, sung a lot of songs with Native Americans, and spent a lot of time on it. He was from the cotton fields of Arkansas. So again, that is not unusual, and that's one thing that has not been pointed out here. Regional particularities, or some would say peculiarities. So thus, that claim has been played around. She apologized to the Cherokee Nation, whose principal chief is, 132nd? I'm not sure how you count that, Native American. In other words, there was something called the Dawes Rolls, and people were registered on it, and that is what they were counting. They had large numbers of Africans in their tribe, which they called freemen. Now, some were not. If they were on the Dawes Rolls, they were on the Dawes Rolls, D-A-W-E-S. They were on that particular roll, and it was a different situation there. And we talked about a land allotment, that some people were allotted land. And there was one that lady that became the first black millionaire. She, the land allotment that she received, oil wells pumped on it, and she received the royalties. And with those royalties, she invested in various businesses and became the first woman, black or African-American millionaire. So this does have different situations here. DJ Trump is, of course, despairing her. But the only thing he could say is she decided after 32 years that it's not playing so well anymore. So she will see you on the campaign trail. And he's talking about Trail of Tears. That's the insult to the Cherokee people, Liz. His son added the word savage. Love my president. Well, what you can see immediately is the term savage, the bastardization, minimization, demoralization of the Trail of Tears. That was when the Cherokee people were forced to march from the Carolinas to what was then the Oklahoma territory of there. So that is a situation, and what you have is you have a number of officials there that like the right-wing congressman in one area there, Mark something, I forget what his name is right now, but he is on a Cherokee rolls, a Dawes roll. And in fact, he lives on the plot. I think it was 150, 160 acres, of whatever it was. That was allotted on the Land Allotment Act, and he still lives there. But his percentage, I think, is something like 1/32nd or 2/32nd, whatever it is there. Difficult to allot that, But that is the way the tribes, or some of the tribes, do it. Now, other tribes, it's based upon more of an anthropological definition of who they are by culture, by practices, etc., by a language. So she is in a strange situation here, but in most of the America, it doesn't matter. They tried to bring this up, saying that she used it to get into university, etc., being a Native American, period. I once taught a course a long time ago. Can't recall the fellow's name, but he was a member of the Cherokee tribe. He later went to the University of California, the last thing I heard of him. But this was in the 70s. So again, you have those kinds of situations going on. So let me finish up the Times article, and I'll go to some supplemental material. She apologized to the Cherokee Nation. I think it is more of a sexist problem that she has to deal with, especially if she wins the primary. This is from Jennifer Robinson, a senior majoring in political science at Merrimack College. So, thus that is painted, that particular candidacy. It's sort of like with Amy Klobuchar. The article came out of the HuffPost Post about some of her staff members saying they had been mistreated, that she was a bully, a taskmaster, etc. In her congressional office, they were forced to do laundry, etc. One of the big questions that people have to ask, are they going to deal with these little extra issues, or are they going to deal with the platform of the candidate? And that is what you have to evaluate when you make, quote unquote, your choice for presidential candidate. You have to go with that particular issue. Let me finish up the Elizabeth Warren. She'll be, incidentally, by this is one of her acts here. It's from the Wall Street Journal in 2008, August of 2008. Corporations shouldn't be held accountable only to their stockholders. This is what the Wall Street Journal did. The U.S. economy has run this way for decades, partly because of a fundamental change in business practices dating back to 1980 of Ronald Reagan. On Wednesday, she introduced, this is Elizabeth Warren, legislation to fix it. American corporations exist only because the American people grant them charters. These charters confer valuable privileges. You're back to rights and privileges, such as limited legal liability for their owners that enable the businesses to turn a profit. What do the Americans get in return? What are the obligations of a corporate citizen? And under the Citizens United, the corporations act as an individual. So this amplified things since her bill. Much of American history, the answers are clear. Corporations sought to succeed in the marketplace, but they also recognize their obligations to the workers, customers, and the community. Recent in 1981, the Business Roundtable, that is a big business organization, sort of like the Manufacturers Association, that represents manufacturers. It represents larger corporations, stated that corporations have a responsibility, first of all, to make available to the public quality goods and services for fair prices, therefore earning a profit that attracts investment to continue and enter into the enterprise, provide jobs, build the economy. This approach worked. American companies and workers have thrived. Late in the 19th century, the dynamic change, building only on work by a conservative economist, Milton Friedman. He used to be at the University of Chicago. A new theory emerged that corporate directors had only one obligation, to maximize stockholder returns. In 1997, the Business Roundtable declared that the principal objective of a business enterprise is to generate economic return to its owners. Change. And that was only while Bill Clinton. The shift has had a tremendous effect on the economy. In the early 80s, the American corporations sent less than one half of their earnings to stockholders, spending the rest on workers and other priorities. But between 2007 and 2016, large corporations dedicated 93% of their earnings to stockholders, because the wealthy 10% of households own 84% of shares. The obsession with maximizing stockholder return effectively meant America's biggest companies had dedicated themselves to making the rich even richer. In the four decades since World War II, the Great Patriotic War, on net contributions of more than $250 billion, U.S. corporations. But since 1985, they have extracted $7 trillion. That's $1 trillion in their profits that might otherwise have been reinvested in the workers who helped produce them. Before shareholder value maximization ideology took place, wages and production grew at roughly the same rate, but since the early 90s, the real wages have stagnated, even as production has continued to rise. Workers aren't getting what they earn. American companies are setting themselves up to fail, restraining, retaining earnings. It were once the foundation for long-term investments, but from 1990 to 2005, the non-financial companies invested trillions less in than projected, falling earnings to stockholders. The on investment handcuffed U.S. enterprises and bestows an advantage on a foreign competition. The problem gets worse because executives now have a strong financial incentive to prioritize stockholders' return. Before 1980, top executives were rarely compensating equity. Today, it accounts for 62% of their pay. Many executives receive additional company shares as a reward for producing a short-term price increases. The feedback loop has sent CEO pay skyrocketing. The average CEO of a big company now makes 361 times what the average worker makes. That's up from 42 times in 1980. Let me just make sure I have this. This is actually August 2018. I think I said 2008. Anyway, so the bill comes. So where my bill comes in, the accountable capitalism restores the idea that giant American corporations should look out for the American interests. Corporations with more than $1 billion in annual revenue should be required to have a federal charter. The new charter requires corporate directors to consider the interests of major corporate stockholders, not only stockholders. That would be pension funds, etc. This approach follows benefit corporation model, which would give the business fiduciary responsibility beyond their stockholders. And 34 states already authorize benefit corporations, and successful corporations such as Pentagon and Kickstarter have embraced this model. My bill would give workers a stronger voice in the corporate decision making. Workers would be elected at least 40% of directors, at least 75% of directors, and shareholders would need approval before the corporation could make any political expenditure. And finishing this off, and this is Elizabeth Warren in a nutshell. as enunciated in the Wall Street Journal. Let me just... from the BBC, this is a North American reporter here. Elizabeth Warren, what stands between her and the White House is the subject. Elizabeth Warren officially launched a campaign. The senator told a crowd of several thousand at the Everett Mill, the site, we've already gotten that part. These days, Lawrence isn't much to look at. Once imposing factors are Warren and Dark by Sut and Time. Or 29% of the town's 80,000 residents live below the poverty line. Although Warren didn't cite modern-day Lawrence as a cautionary tale, the dropback could serve to illustrate another part of her message that the current financial status of America is broken, no doubt about it. The progressive champion. This is the kind of talk that makes Elizabeth Warren a star of progressive left for more than a decade. She burst into the national scene following the economic collapse, the depression, championed the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She got it, and following the passage of Dodd-Frank. During her tenure, she earned a reputation for hard-nosed caution of business executives, which she's still doing. Now the calculus has changed. On New Year's Eve, she became the first major candidate, according to political analyst in Iowa, Renard. Warren made a big splash in her visit to Iowa. And the Boston Globe published an editorial that highlights the negative story that Dog Warren, and you would see that would happen, a claimed interview of her Texas State bar exam. That was in 1986. And the Bernie factor, we'll get this one and we'll conclude this part, likened Warren to... Clinton likened there's another threat that could link, Hillary Clinton and Warren that the threat to their campaign posed by the candidacy of one Bernie Sanders of Vermont, offering a big ticket, a progressive agenda like universal health care, free college, sweeping environmental regulations, and a tax structure to address growing inequality. That sounds a lot like a Warren's platform. There, however, is a friction between the two, as we talked about earlier there. Philosophical outlooks of the two senators, one from Massachusetts, one from New England, and a progressive commentator and writing fellow from the University of California, Berkeley. Warren is pragmatic, while Bernie Sanders is a political revolutionary. She has hired, according to this article, having confirmed.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.